Well, good morning. It is just gorgeous weather out there. You know, I was in Fresno and it was 104 degrees. But it was a dry heat, yes. Really wasn't as bad as 90 degrees with 98% humidity. But nonetheless, it was hot. This I like. I like, you know, rode my motorcycle here this morning. I actually had to zip up the jacket because got a little nippy hitting 30 miles an hour going with just this light shirt on. But we've got gorgeous weather as the Lord just blesses us this fall. And it's not fall yet, but school has started. It's Labor Day weekend. We think fall. It's not. It's still summer. So let's enjoy it. Now, I do want to mention one thing before I move on. I want to make an announcement. A couple of announcements. I don't normally do that, but I'm going to do it anyways. Just got the info on general counsel this next year. Now, for those of you who don't know, general counsel is the biannual meeting. It used to be annual, but they moved to every other year now in order to save money of the National Christian Missionary Alliance. This next one's going to be in Kansas City, Missouri. That's not that far away. About a 7-hour drive. All depends who's driving. I had one guy telling me he makes a trip between Kansas City here in 6 hours on a very regular basis. Like, okay. It's more like 8 if you follow the speed limits. But it's not a bad trip. And it's going to be May 25th through the 29th. And the speakers that are going to be there are almost all good Alliance guys. Derwin Gray, we had him here to speak for us. He's going to be speaking again this next year. Fred Hartley, who is wonderful pastor and really has a heart for prayer. Paul King, a good author within the Alliance. John Stumble. John Stumble, I shared one a few months ago or last winter, I believe. I can't remember when I anyhow, sometime in the last year or so, I shared one of John's videos early spring. John had been struck down with an illness, which they're still not exactly sure what caused it, what it is. It caused him just to lose the ability to swallow and to digest food. And he basically lost his voice. He couldn't talk. For a pastor, there isn't much worse than not being able to talk. I mean, that's what we do. And John was a healthy... I mean, this is a man who was running marathons, doing triathlons. I mean, he was healthy. And he was struck down with this disease, debilitating, and they just weren't sure... And they were just doing palliative care, just trying to figure out, doing something to try to minimize the symptoms. But the Lord has brought healing to him, and he's strengthened him, and he's back to where he can actually drive again, which is just an amazing feat. And he's eating real food and swallowing, which is just listening to his story and testimony, and that is wonderful. And he'll be speaking at General Counsel, I'm sure, on God's grace and healing. And God does answer prayer, and there were many people praying for him. Another one of the speakers, I'm not going to list them all, but is Dr. David Thompson. We've got a bunch of books in the library. If you have any questions about the library and how to use it and what's back there, I suggest you talk to Jane. Jane kind of go like this. Talk to Jane. She's kind of taking care of the library over there. you want to know how to use the library, how do I check out a book, please just don't grab something or just move it around, but check it out so we know where it went. But Dr. David Thompson, he wrote a couple of books, and he's got a whole series of books that he helped with about Alliance missionaries. So he's going to be one of our speakers. Ravi Zacharias. Anybody here heard of Ravi Zacharias? Okay, if you haven't heard of Ravi, go online and check him out. He is probably one of the foremost Christian theologians and apologetic speakers out there. He has an intellect which is just, it's God. It's a gift from God, and he has a way of putting words and being able to describe what God is doing and what God is teaching in such a way that he brings something which a lot of people have difficulty understanding, and he boils it down to a point where people go, oh, I get it now. And he can have the highest highbrow discussion with an intellectual egghead, or come down and bring and talk with people with no education and the lowest castes of India, that's his homeland. And he's a wonderful man, a wonderful speaker, and he'll be one of our speakers. And we're going to have our worship leader for the event will be Michael Card. Okay, now why am I telling you this? Because you're invited to go. So I want you to start planning about, thinking about, pray. Does God want me to go? When we have annual meeting in January, we're going to have to select a couple delegates. Hopefully we'll have more than just the pastoral staff going. It's great if we could get a couple of delegates to go. It's close. It's only a few hours away. We could all fit in one car and go. If you want to go, or you got family down there for just part of it, it's worth attending. General Council, to see the body of believers come together in a large venue from around the country and really around the world, it's worth doing. You know, do it at least once. You know, even if you don't go every 2 years, it's worth making the trip. And if we've got a bunch of us going, we can save some money. We can share hotel rooms. We can share transportation. And we can make it there. So, again, that's May 25th through the 29th of next year, 2011. I know it's way out in the future, but I really wanted to just throw that out there for you. One other thing. I know I don't do... We got our new Sunday school starting here next week. We could still use some help in a couple areas. I ask you, please, talk to Pastor John, talk to myself, about where could you help? Could you teach? Could you be just an assistant? Could you be somebody who could work in the nursery during Sunday school? We have some people in the nursery during the worship service, but we don't have anybody assigned for nursery for Sunday school. Now, we don't want people to feel like they've got to do it because nobody else will. So what I'm asking you to do is to pray. Is God leading you to be part of this? Is he putting a burden on your heart? I want you to know the job is there. And I don't normally make appeals from the pulpit like this. But seriously, I want each of you to pray. Is God asking you to be a Sunday school teacher? If he's putting a burden, a thing on you, I want you to come talk to me or talk to Pastor John. We will get you hooked up. If this is where you're supposed to be, we will make it happen. Okay. Done with the commercials. We're going to move into God's Word. We are in Isaiah chapter 6. Oh, if you're planning to leave at noon, feel free to get up and leave, because I'm not going to be done then. Just Just giving you fair warning. Isaiah chapter 6. Start with verse 1. Just so you do have a ray of hope, though, I do have a 1 o'clock nursing home service I have to do. So I'll be gone before then. Don't get too nervous. Okay. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year of that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they called to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty! The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted and the fields are ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads and guides us and gives us understanding. Lord, we thank you for your Son Jesus who, through his sacrifice, made it possible for your Holy Spirit to reside within us. Made it possible for us to have our sins atoned for. Lord, might we receive that atonement. Might we receive your word and your Holy Spirit. Might we receive the gift that you give us here this morning of your word. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me that as I preach this morning, Lord, that I would speak with power and truth, that your people here would indeed be encouraged and blessed. Lord, that we would take heed of what you say here, and might we follow your will for our lives. Lord, be present here and let your glory shine and be given only to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have this call, this commission of Isaiah to go out and share a word with the people. This is a difficult commission. It's one thing to go out, you know, everybody likes to go out and give good news. You know, a couple years ago when my father was diagnosed with cancer, he was, and it was terminal. It was stage 4 when they found it. But we didn't know that he had cancer at this point. He's just at the neurologist getting an MRI, and 2 hours go by, 3 hours go by, 4 hours go by after the MRI, and the doctor said, you know, you can't leave until I've met with you, was what he'd been told. The nurses told my dad that he couldn't leave. Well, my dad's in terrible pain, and he's just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. And nobody would tell him what's going on. Nobody wanted to be the bearer of that bad news. Until finally the doctor did come in and talk with my father and I and give us that bad news. And he did so tearfully. And he did so also seeking God's grace. It was a blessing to have a Christian doctor. But yet, it wasn't the message that he wanted to give. Yet, this is the message that we see given to Isaiah to bring to the people of Jerusalem, God's people. He says, tell them this, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. That's a hard message. It's a hard message. Now, when he's there getting this commission, he knows his condition, and he knows the condition of the people that he lives amongst. He said, you know, the people of Judah, the people of Israel, they're not so great. You know, refers to them as people with unclean lips. You know, I from time to time have made comment to somebody. I said, "You eat with that mouth?" When after hearing some people speak because of the filth that spews out of it, that may not be the nicest way to point something out, but I've said it. Why am I saying that? Because what's coming out of their mouth isn't good. But is what's coming out of my mouth and everybody else really any better? Am I praising God with my actions? Am I talking about God's glory? Or am I talking about anything but? This is the people of Israel. They were talking about anything but. And they were talking about their own glory. They were glorifying themselves. See, one of their issues was issue of pride, of hubris. You know, they were God's people. Things are going good, and then they get knocked down. But they don't believe that they're going to suffer. But they do. Well, we see Isaiah as he's brought into the Lord's presence. And he recognizes that he's living amongst people that are lost, that he's living amongst people with unclean lips, and that his lips aren't so clean. And he cries out, "Woe to me." And we talked about woe last week. We saw a video that shows a depiction of woe, of death and destruction and suffering. Woe is not good. It's sorrow, it's remorse, it's desperation. And Isaiah is recognizing that his place, predicament's pretty tough. Because he's in the very presence of God. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Now the Israelites, the people of Judah, Jerusalem, they knew the books of the law, the story of Moses, the story of the Exodus. They knew about Moses and his request to see God's glory, and God had told him, "You can't see my face and live." Now, there is no Israelite in his right mind that's going to walk around and say, "I am more righteous than Moses." They just wouldn't do so. And Isaiah is seeing God. He said, "I can't see God and live. I know this." How was Moses spared when he asked to see God's glory? God said, "You can't see it and live." God stuck him in a cleft in a rock. He said, "You stay here and you'll see my glory, the of my back as I go by." And he covered Moses with his own hand as he walked past. And it wasn't until he was past that he released his hand so that Moses could see the glory from behind. The glory of God is so much. And yet the glory is there. And he's there. He's saying, "Whoa." Like, this is not good. I am not worthy to be where I'm at right now. I am in trouble. But God intervenes. And he sends one of the seraphs with a coal, which touches his lips. You ever touch something that was real hot to your lip? Ever burn your lip? You know, those of you who've been smokers, maybe you have experienced that. I tend to be one who've experienced burning my lip because I like to put stuff in my mouth, eating right off the stove, you know, a little hot. Oh, burn myself. Hot fork, hot spoon, you know. I've never been a smoker, so I didn't burn my lip that way, but I know people who have. But, you know, burn your lip, bringing a coal, an ember, and tongs, and he brings it to his lips and to purify, to remove that which is unclean. Fire is purifying. It's one of the ways that medically they would, they had to do an amputation or something, and it was very field expedient, you could burn the end. It would work. If you kept it, it would clean it. Now it could cause other issues later, but it works for the moment. And that's what we have here, is this coal being taken with tongs from the very altar, from the altar where the sacrifices to God were, his glory is rising from. And he said, he touched his mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Our guilt is taken away and our sin is atoned for through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Christ hadn't died yet. Christ had not yet arose. So Isaiah needed this direct intervention. And God interceded with the seraph. Now, when the seraph were in the room, the throne room, and they're crying, calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy," three times, "is the Lord God Almighty." Three times. There's something very special about saying something three times. It made it legal. It made it binding in a contract. This saying it three times, just, this is it. It's said with weight and authority. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, some mighty, no, almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. The word glory literally can be translated as weight. The whole world is full of God's weight, His presence. He's touched everything. For He's the Creator. The whole earth is full of the weight of His presence. The whole earth is full of His glory. Isaiah, he cries out. God intervenes and then gives him this, calls out and says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah apparently had never been in the army or any other armed forces and learned that you don't volunteer, because he volunteered. He's right up front. First, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Here I am. Send me. And he's thinking, what is God going to send me to do? He didn't even know what the job was yet. Just, who will I send to the people with my message? I'll go. I don't know what the message is. I don't know. Now, when my father and I heard the news, it hit us hard. It was devastating. But you know, some people, when they receive bad news, respond poorly. I have been there as a police chaplain and given somebody bad news and had them react violently, which is why we always like to take a police officer with. If you're going to give somebody a death notification or something like that, chaplain just doesn't go by himself. Because you don't know how people are going to respond. People who are powerful quite often respond negatively. There's a lot of people who never hear any bad news or negative because they don't allow people who give them bad news to be around them. There were kings like that in history. You know, you come in, give me bad news, you know what happens? That's right. You lose a few inches off the top. Yet, this is the message that Isaiah has given, to give to the people, to give to the king, to give to those who are in power and authority. Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. You people don't hear what I'm saying. You don't see what I'm showing you. This is the message that God has for His people that He's given Isaiah to share. Now, how do you like it when I talk to you that way? You people don't hear. You people don't see. Don't like it. I don't like that. Doesn't make me feel good to say it. How do you like being the recipient of it? I don't imagine you like it at all. But yet that's the message. It says, make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, turn and be healed. It sounds like God doesn't want the people to hear or understand. He wants them to receive judgment. That's what it sounds like, isn't it? Whoa. God, you want me to do what? And he says, well, for how long am I supposed to do this? You know, hopefully, you know, we're talking, you know, I'm supposed to do this one Sunday and, you know, or what, this would have been Sabbath, so it's probably a Saturday. You know, I'm supposed to do this like, you know, maybe one weekend, maybe 1 month, you know, what? No, I don't want you to do this until the lands are destroyed, okay? Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants. Okay. Until the land is utterly forsaken. You know, verse 13, he talks about, and though a tenth remains in the land, a tenth remain. We have a word for that we use for that talks about when a group has suffered tremendous casualties. It's called decimated. They were decimated. It comes from the Roman practice that they had at the time where if there was a problem in a city or a town or village, they would take the inhabitants, say they'd killed a Roman soldier. They might go in and they would decimate the community. They would take every tenth person, take them out and kill them. Instead, what God's talking about here is we're going to take every tenth person out, kill the nine that are left behind, this is terrible. This is awful. This is not good. This is pretty bad destruction. If they're not destroyed, they're at least removed from the table. Gone. And even though just a tenth is there, okay, that's not bad enough. I'm going to come back and bring judgment one more time after there's only a tenth left. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. Here's the word of hope. Here's the promise that there's more that's going to happen. You ever cut down a tree? One with a big root system? Anybody? What happens if you just leave the roots in the stump, in the ground? It grows back, and it grows fast too, doesn't it? Because why? It's got this big major root system. You know, you plant a tree with a seed, it takes a long time to get a tree. You cut down a tree, and you leave the stump and the roots solid in the ground. You know how long it takes to get a tree? A lot less time. And you don't get just one tree out of that. You get a bunch of them. You get more than what you started with. A lot more. Just like with any other seed that's planted. When we plant for corn, generally, you take three corn kernels and you put it in the ground. I don't know why it's supposed to be three. I think you could get one, but you get like it. That's the way I've always done it. Planted three. And you get the corn that comes up. Usually you get two, three stalks that come up. It's probably supposed to be three to make sure, guarantee you that something comes up. You know how many corn kernels are on one stalk of corn? Well, it all depends how many years of corn you get, doesn't it? But it's not uncommon to get a half dozen years of corn off a stalk of corn. So one kernel gives me half dozen years. Each ear of corn has probably got 100 or better kernels on it. That's pretty good return. That's what you get when you're plant a seed. You get a better return. This is why what was talked about earlier, you know, we talked about last week, what was so terrible that they were returning less than what they planted. Now here, these stumps which are left, they will be the holy seed. So the holy seed will be the stump in the land. And the people of Israel will grow back. The people of God will grow and flourish. But there will be suffering, there will be loss. Now, when we look at this, does that be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving? This message is God was telling the people, you're not listening to me. You're not looking at what I'm showing you. And the people became harder and harder of heart. This is why Jonah didn't want to go and take the message of God's judgment against the people of Nineveh. Because he knew that if he preached the word, that the people might just hear it and be changed. Well, Isaiah's out preaching the word, but the people just aren't listening. He's telling them, you're not hearing, you're not understanding, you're not seeing, you're not perceiving. And the people, in their haughty nature, puffed up pride, going, what are you talking about? We see clearly. We hear and understand everything we need to. You are a loon. And they hardened their hearts to God's word. People, we don't want to harden our hearts to God's word. We want to hear what God is saying. And when we hear the word of correction, we need to take it to heart. We need to say, woe to me. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. This needs to be our response. Else was Isaiah's response, and what he responded humbly. Correctly perceiving that God is holy and God is glorious and that he was lacking. That he was not. See, God is and we aren't. See, he is holy, holy, holy. We are those who are lost without his intervention. We are blessed that we have his intervention. He did intervene at the cross. He did go to the cross and die for our sins so that we wouldn't have to face judgment. So that we could see his glory and not die. That we could have him even come and reside within us. We celebrated communion today. I didn't plan it that way. Yet it fits so perfect with what's going on here in this passage. It must have been a coincidence. It was by chance. I don't think so. God directs the universe. I think he can figure out when I'm supposed to preach a particular message and what's supposed to go on that day. He brings it together. He organizes it for his glory. See, this has touched your lips. your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. It's not the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup which did it, but it was God's intervention by His sending His Son to live as that perfect sacrifice, by that Son Jesus willingly sacrificing Himself on the cross for my sin, for your sin, so that the Holy Spirit may come and seal us and make us His. That our guilt is taken away and our sin atoned for. Might when we hear God call, might we say as Isaiah did, "Here I am, send me." And when we hear the message, might our hearts be softened, not made hard. Might our ears, instead of being plugged up, be made to hear closely. Our eyes see, instead of being closed. But might we stand on the promise that even when God brings His judgment, and it will come, that the holy seed is the stump in the land, and that there will be many more who come from that small remnant that is left behind. The stump in the land will produce many, many more believers in Christ. Many, many more followers of God. Let us pray. Father, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You that You Lord, that You interceded on our behalf as You interceded for Isaiah. You have interceded for each and every one of us. If we will recognize our lost nature and receive the gift that You have for us, our lips too can be made clean. We can be restored to a right relationship with You, and You can seal us with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for Your word, for Your encouragement, even amidst Your message of rebuke. Lord, Your word of encouragement is there. Lord, might we be like those trees that grow up with deep roots already. May we grow quickly and strong. And might we give glory to You. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.